Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Volt here, and joining me today is Tony and Elisa DiLorenzo. Tony and Elisa are the best-selling authors of a bunch of different books. They've got one book they did with us at Self-Publishing School called The Six Pillars of Intimacy. They've got a book called The 7 Days of Sex Challenge. They've got Connect Like You Did When You First Met. They've got other books. They've now, we were just talking about right before this, there's since publishing their newest book, The Six Pillars of Intimacy. They have published a workbook, all kinds of fun things in the works. So they joined Self-Publishing School about a year ago. We've been working with them on their book. Really cool to see the journey. Yeah. I think, one of the best titles and covers of the last year, and I think just a really quality book. So it's been cool to see just everything that's happened over the last year. So welcome, great to have you guys here.
Oh, it's awesome to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chandler.
Yeah, so let's start with why books. I mean, it's obvious that you've made an intentional effort to create books and to kind of create this, use them as a core part of your business. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, we're in the marriage niche. And so we bring encouragement and hope to marriages. And one of the things we've learned over the years, and I don't think we knew this when we wrote our first book 10 years mm-hmm. ago, but definitely when we wrote The Six Pillars of Intimacy, it was very intentional to have it just be excellent in all parts, was because we know married folks love books and they love paperback books. They love them mm-hmm. in their hands. They love touching, mm-hmm. feeling. And so when we went to write The Six Pillars of Intimacy, it was very intentional because that's where our people are. They want to pick up a book. They want to hold it. They want to read it.
Cool. That's great. And how did you originally hear about Self-Publishing School, and why did you decide to work with us?
Gosh, we started talking and Elisa and I came together. So we've written 5 other books, 4 of them together. Mm-hmm. One she did on her own. Mm-hmm. And I was in a place where I really felt like we need to have the best.
Yeah.
This needs to be excellent mm-hmm. in all levels. And I was like, we can't do this on our own. The other times we've done them, we've gone to fights, we've gone to issues. It drags on and on. Yeah. And so we started searching, and I found SPS, did a bunch of research. Come to find out, you used to live in San Diego, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, that was just an interesting thing because we live in San Diego. Yeah. And it just sort of like, oh, well, that's cool. This guy used to live here in San Diego, and I think we had some mutual friends maybe. Mm-hmm. So I just jumped on. I was like, oh, this is exactly what we need. It's not full bore, like everything is done for us because we wanted to write it. We wanted to do that piece, but we had the coaching beside us to help us along.
Yeah,
that's cool. And cool to see, because I think a lot of times when people have published multiple books before, they think, oh yeah, I've done this. Like, I don't know that I really need your help. But it's just cool even going through Amazon. It's like, hey, you've got some great books and the books have done well. And then just to see both the success and I feel like the quality differential up level with this most recent book, that gets me excited. And I think it's just like a testament of you guys implementing it, but then also just that, like a process that helps lead to a better outcome.
Absolutely.
Which I think is really cool.
Yeah, it was definitely, when Tony first mentioned Self-Publishing School, I was a little skeptical. I'm like, because like you said, we've written 5 other books.
Yeah.
And yet when I look at this book compared to the other 5, it's like night and day difference. Mm-hmm. For me, in everything from just having a coach to hold you accountable, and I'm a marriage coach myself, so I totally understand accountability, which eased a lot of the tension
between us.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just our coach there; it was all of the resources, that in the Rolodex that were available to us through Self-Publishing School that literally leveled up the book, everything from editors to cover design, interior design, the
front
entire
matter,
process.
Back matter.
Cool.
all of that made it so easy.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Yeah. That's so cool. And so great to hear. Did you guys ever see the Henry Cloud or the Gary Chapman interview on the Self Publishing School podcast?
No.
Ooh, that would be a good. It's like okay. I was trying to line up the timing. I'm like, huh, that maybe have been about the time. So I was wondering if that's how you found us originally. But the things I really ask a lot of questions. And so for anyone who's listening to this or watching this, if you are a coach or a counselor or therapist or in any you know type of practice where you're having one-on-one conversations with people, those two episodes might be helpful. And the five, I think it's really interesting. The five love languages. And I think you guys did something really well that he did really well as well, was we should create a framework. Mm-hmm. Like that's instantly when I saw in the mastermind community, I think it was maybe even you getting your first covers. It's like six pillars of intimacy. I'm just like, yes, like that is it. It's so killer. And it's a framework. Right. And yep. So I remember asking, Dr. Henry Cloud and then also Gary Chapman, how they did that. And I'm going to ask the same question to you guys, which is, all right, you have all of these sessions, these one-on-one sessions with people. And that's kind of where the five love languages came from. That's where boundaries came from. I said, how do you synthesize that into a framework that is easy for people to understand and that's also promotable? And yes. So that's the question I got asked of them. It might be fun for you guys to go back and listen to their thoughts, but I would love to ask that to you guys as well. How did you do that with this book? And what would be your advice for other people who want to do that with their one-on-one work?
Yeah, if you're in a place, like I said, I'm a marriage coach. I've been coaching couples and individuals for, gosh, almost 10 years now.
Yep.
And so a lot of it was, what's that language that you hear over and over again? Mm-hmm. What are the challenges that people are facing? And so much, like we were just with a group last night who have just gone through the book as a small group study. And what they were saying, and we've heard it, you know, it shows up in a lot of the reviews and whatnot, is it sounded like you were inside my head. It sounded like you were speaking my mm-hmm. language. It sounded like these were my problems or our life. And what I would say is if you're in that space where you're hearing things over and over again, you can write the book because you already know the language. You don't have to get all fancy or theoretical or use, you know, complicated words. Just speak in the way that your people speak. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to take their ideas and, you know, look at what's the framework. What do you find yourself teaching or coaching over and over again? What are those areas? And then, you know, put that together and you package it up, call it a framework, and deliver it to the people, because somebody's breakthrough is on the other side of you putting pen to paper and getting that framework out.
That's great. Anything you want to add to that, Tony?
I would say for us, especially around the six pillars of intimacy, and we've been in this marriage world for 14 years now. Mm-hmm. The thing that I kept hearing from a lot of folks is like, I want deeper intimacy. And so when we would dive in with them, I'd say, okay, well, what does that really mean mm-hmm. to you? And they go, well, I want more sex. And that just allowed us to go, okay, well, there's more to it than just sex. Right. We talk a lot about it on our podcast. I get it. And so for us to get that framework, we were able to put in different pillars of mm-hmm. intimacy so we could help folks to understand, like, it's not just sex. Sex is one component, and yet your emotional intimacy is important. Your financial intimacy is important. And so bringing that framework together, and then with the pillars, learning what that looks like, we were able to bring that framework all together.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's great. And then did you sit down and synthesize and create the frameworks as part of the book? Did you create the frameworks, field test them, and then say, hey, I think they're ready. Now we should write a book. How did that process look like?
Yeah.
So we actually started with a
great story.
24-page ebook.
Well, even going back before that, we spoke at a marriage event.
Oh, that's right. You do the marriage event.
We spoke at a marriage event, and I had put together, it's actually the image on the back of the book, and I had put together these six pillars with like a triangle on top because it was just a slide in a presentation, and originally we had called it the Power Six.
That was a presentation name. We called it the Power Six. Yeah. Horrible.
It was all, like, and that's why I tell this, because, you know, this is just the humility in, you know, what's that author's journey. And so we had done this presentation. We had talked about the Power Six. We come off the stage and people start coming up to us in the conversation, the discussion time, and they're talking about these six pillars.
Yeah.
Because that had been the image that they saw. They didn't catch the name. They saw the mm-hmm. image and called it six mm-hmm. pillars. And so from that point, we started talking about it on our podcast. That's when we floated the ebook.
I made sure that sixpillarsofintimacy.com was available. Grab that thing really quick.
Well, and there were only three?
There's three or four actual hits.
When you search Six Pillars of Intimacy in 2020, there were only three hits. So now we've got a name that nobody's using.
Yeah. And so we could build around it. And then we wrote a quick 24-page PDF, just talked about them really quick, easy, 24 point font, big pictures, put something similar to what you see on the cover now, and just put it out there. And we had thousands and thousands and thousands of people download that.
No way.
And so that's
how they find it and how they download it.
Through our podcast, through the website, through our Facebook groups, Instagram, we put it out on our email list, and we would just go, okay, get it, grab it. And that's where we begin to test it and go, oh, are they grabbing it? Mm-hmm. Do they understand where we're going with this? And they did. And so that was it. Last June, we were in that spot where it's like, it's time to write this book.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's cool. You alluded to this a little bit earlier, and this is actually something I wanted to ask you guys. Is the conflict that comes in writing the book. And I think one of the hardest things to do is co-author a book.
Yes.
It's maybe you've heard me say, it's kind of like trying to paint a painting and having two hands on the paintbrush.
Yes.
And that's really difficult. And so I'm curious, the lessons that you guys learned from writing a book with a co-author and tips that you have for other co-authors. I'll let you marinate for a sec and go into kind of a side trail, which is I interviewed, this might be another one, a good one to listen to on this podcast, is Leif Babin, the co-author with Jocko Willink of Extreme Ownership, and asked him about the similar thing. I just think it's such a fascinating topic. So anytime I talk to co-authors, I want to ask about it. So yeah, how'd you do it? And what would be your tips for folks who want to do it?
Can I say one thing? I think one of the things we learned through SPS is the book is the first entry point to who you are, to your coaching, to wherever you're leading somebody to. And that was very beneficial for Elisa and I, because as we looked at the book and we were going, okay, where are we leading our reader? Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, it's to marriage coaching, because there are so many couples that are just stuck and they need somebody there. And so when we were able to unlock that piece, it changed the dynamic of how we're writing the book now, because it's really Elisa's point of view, because Elisa does all the coaching. We don't do co-coaching. It's Elisa does the coaching. And so that was the first step, but we had to even get to that point to go. And there was some frustration of well, what goes in the back? Where are we going? Cause you guys shared that so well. And so once we got to that, then it was game on for her to start writing.
Well, and I think, just backing up prior to the Six Pillars of Intimacy, we've written five books, four of which we wrote together. And those were always, there was just tension.
Yes.
Right? Because whose point of view? What does this look like? What are the deadlines? All of this,
challenges. Voice?
And, unlike some of those other folks that you mentioned, we are also married. So it's not like I get to go away from my co-author. I have to go to bed with my co-author. So there's a whole dynamic there. And it can be a stressor, and we knew that going into this. And so, I think some of the key things that happened through using SPS was, when there was that whole instruction on, what are you going to direct people to? What's going to be that opt-in, right? And so we start thinking about that. And then we think about what's going to be in the back matter and where are we taking them? When we started looking at those two, like Tony said, we knew we were going to coaching in that capacity. So I had still written the rough draft. Mm-hmm. Sent it off for developmental edits. And I remember the first question that came back from our editor was, who wrote this book? Because it's really confusing and you keep flip-flopping back and forth and it's not clear. Mm-hmm. And that was that really confrontational time in a good way, good confrontation from an editor saying, you need to be more clear. And that's when we sat down and said, okay, what is this going to look like? And in our case, what we opted for is I wrote the entire book, the six chapters that deal with each one of the pillars, each one of those chapters wraps up with what we call Tony's thoughts. Mm-hmm. So that he could come in, he could be the commentary, but it wasn't going back and forth.
Yeah. Super smart. That's so great.
Yeah.
I love that concept.
And it changes the authorship too, because it was Tony and Elisa DiLorenzo, but now it's Elisa DiLorenzo with Tony DiLorenzo.
Yeah.
Which is totally cool. Like our
editor hit to the ego. Little hit to the ego, but I think it's the best for the reader.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a difficult conversation, right? And I just recognize that I'm looking at your cover right now, and I just noticed that it's a small difference. But I think it's very smart. It's so funny. I was given, we did this, our first ever Get Published workshop in person this past weekend in Austin, Texas. And I was given almost a similar feedback. I think that is one of the best frameworks on how to do it. Because there's these two co-authors. I said, you know, one way I've seen is it's there's a primary author, and then I love the Tony's thoughts.
Yep.
So then it's like you hear from both authors, but it's primarily in a singular voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only time I've seen someone do it well differently than that would be Extreme Ownership, which is they actually rotate chapters, which how they pulled that off, I don't know. I mean, they did a great job of making that cohesive. And when you listen to audiobook, it's interesting because I think they trade off narrations, which is like kind of interesting. But I think that's a really smart framework that you guys landed on.
It definitely worked for us. And I would say if you're thinking about co-authoring a book, you got to make sure you've got strong communication with your co-author, and you've got strategies for handling conflict, or, you know, who's going to ultimately make a decision, because there are going to come times when somebody's got to decide, where are we going with this? How are we driving it? And you've got to be able to have those skills in place, because otherwise your book might not get published.
Yeah. That's smart. I mean, it's just like anything else in any business, right? It's like if two people own it, no one owns it. And so I think it's smart to define that up front if you are working with a co-author, of you have final call on all of these things, I have final call on all of these things, whether that's writing, marketing, whether that's content, packaging, some sort of delineation of responsibilities and ownership, I think probably leads to a better book and a whole lot less conflict.
All of that.
In the process. I remember I wrote one of my first books with a co-author, and I remember you're like us going through and like editing each other's paragraphs, and like, and then at some point it's just like, stop the madness. Like, we've got to stop doing this. It was just not efficient or effective or.
No, not at all.
All right. So we've learned how to better work with co-authors. Let's talk marketing. How did you launch this book? What did the launch look like? And what are the two or three things that have sold the most copies since the launch?
All right, so launch, we went through again, SPS, how are you doing that pre-launch work, right? I'm just trying to remember now because it was November. So we went through the whole SPS, let's get, you know, 100 people on that initial list so we can get the reviews and the ratings to start. So we did that. I wanna say our goal is 50 reviews. And we ended up with 40, which I felt was still solid.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we did that, that was really quick too. I think that was like within 7-10 days. And then soon as that was done, it was boom into the full launch, which we did to our audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that was mainly just the one family. So the different outlets we have, mm-hmm. social media, email list, podcasts, we really went after it. We used the templates that mm-hmm. you guys gave us, which was fantastic. We saw the spike, the 99 cents for Kindle. And that brought in a ton of new people. We did some book promos mm-hmm. as well. I started putting those, you know, a couple the first week, a couple the next week, just started using those to get that initial bump.
Yeah.
And out of all our books, by far, that was the best.
Yes. The best launch ever.
Yeah. Mm. For us.
Mm. Yeah.
What do you attribute that to?
Strategy. Having a strategy, having a plan instead of, you know, I think in the past, and I can definitely speak to, you know, even the first couple of books, sometimes as an author, I myself got into this place of thinking, if I write it, surely it's going to fly off the shelves because my words are magical, right? Everybody's going to want the book because it's written. And the reality is that, you know, like your parents and your friends know, and nobody else knows.
Yeah.
Where this time we had told so many people about it, so many people that it was coming. We had a strategy. We did the whole pre-launch. And so by the time we actually released it, it already had momentum instead of just like hoping and praying that somebody's going to find my book on Amazon and decide, oh, please, please buy my book.
Yeah. And we just stay diligent. I think you guys said it, you know, just the number of emails of just going, hey, just keep putting those out there, keep putting them out there. We would text closer friends and we would get on lives and do different things. Shortly thereafter, though, I was like, okay, we got to keep this going. And so got on to Amazon ads, hired that out. And that has been ridiculously awesome for us.
Oh, cool. Great.
Yeah. Like very,
how so? Yeah.
We sell right now, we do anywhere between 20 and 40 books a day. And my goal is to get us to 100. And so Amazon ads have been the stalwart behind that, though, really the engine behind that. And we continue to just refine that with our team. So that's been great. We've tried Facebook ads, which didn't do well. Tried some more of the book promo sites, and they're up and down. So just different stuff. Continue to just share it through Instagram. And now most recently, I'm really wanting to look at YouTube ads. And so I'm just recently this week just starting to go, okay, what could I do as an author, as an authors? Can we get in front of people through that channel?
Yeah. Cool. What were the top two or three things as part of the launch or even since then that have sold the most books outside of your internal audience and launch team and those sort of things? Anything else that worked particularly well?
I mean, Amazon, obviously. I mean, they're just a juggernaut. You know, because of when we launched it too, we didn't do a lot of in-store signings. We didn't do much of that sort of stuff. We have folks that will pick up. One of the things that we do because of the book, the nature of the book, is called small group studies for churches.
Super smart.
And so that has been great. Like we have a church up in British Columbia right now that they just ended a 6-week small group study, and they bought, I think, 20. I mean, they just bought 20 books, and I think 20 or 40 workbooks, and they just, here you go. Yeah. And so that's somewhere that I'm really working into a lot as well. And I'm seeing that churches are buying it for their premarital folks as well. So they're buying like a bundle of 30. They're like, yeah, we just give us 30. And we're like, great, here you go. Yeah. So really looking at those channels and supporting those organizations.
That's great. That's great. I'm trying to find it. I feel like, sorry. I'm giving you guys a bajillion podcasts to listen to, but it keeps triggering thoughts. There's one with Jennifer Allwood. She wrote a faith-based book, and she talked about how she did book clubs.
Okay.
And really smart. And I think if I were you guys, I would lean into book clubs.
Okay.
Churches really, I mean, I would lean into a lot. And you could be the curriculum for a lot of relationship book clubs and small groups and all that stuff. I think Mike Todd masterfully did this with his book Relationship Goals. Mike Todd Transformation Church out of Oklahoma. They did small groups, but then they all, I mean, he's tying in messages and stuff to it, which is kind of a bit of an unfair advantage on the book sales side of things. But I think he did a pretty masterful job with that. I think the small groups and book clubs is a really, really smart idea.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right. So if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement.
You touched on reviews. You know, as of the time of recording this interview, you guys are at 175 reviews. In about 6 months. How'd you do it? Any tips or lessons learned or recommendations for people who want to get more reviews on their books?
You have to keep asking.
Yep.
We, within our community, we do what we call a Take Action Thursday, which is just a Facebook Live. We do that 3 weeks out of the month. And every time we do, I'm updating with what we've done. You constantly remind people that they're not leaving a review to do a favor to you. They're leaving a review to do a favor to the person who needs to read your book. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not asking, I know the book is amazing. I love hearing that you think the book is amazing, but more importantly, the person that's looking, in our case, the person that's looking for a book to unlock something in their marriage needs to hear from that person that's leaving a review. This is how it transformed us. And when you, I just tell people all the time, you are the person that somebody else needs to hear from. And so as you keep asking people, I think a lot of it has to do with our language. If we sound like we're begging for reviews, if we sound desperate, people are like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
But if we remind people that they're doing it as a favor to somebody else, who doesn't? Like, hey, would you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Because somebody else needs to know what you think. Then it removes us from the equation as authors and allows people to come alongside as partners.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Such a great idea.
Chandler, one thing, as we were just talking, you're like, hey, what really moved the book? Audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I just keep thinking about the paperback or the Kindle, but you know what really moved some stuff was when we got that audiobook done. Mm-hmm. And we recorded ourselves, obviously, because we're podcasters, we have the equipment, people hear our voice, we want them to hear it while they're listening. But that and working with Find A Way Voices,
cool.
That has been huge in terms of just getting it out there into all these different channels and people just listening.
That's great.
Yeah.
What has the audiobook just sold really well? Yeah. Why? Anything specifically that you did to market the audiobook, or has it just took off?
I don't think it's anything in particular. If we go back to what you said about the framework, I really do believe that this book, just by the titling of it, the cover of it, it's grabbing those who are in need. And our subtitle is A Secret to an Extraordinary Marriage. And so I think it's just taking off and people are just seeing it and the reviews are just pushing it up there, not like any of our other books. So it's taken us some time to get there. But I do think it has to do with how it's presented, what it says, the subtitle, and with the way the cover looks. It's nice. It's easy to see. It's not distracting. It's that's what I want. Boom. Here we go. Description is clear. Get it.
That's cool.
And I would, just to add to that, I would say if you've got in our case, our audience is used to listening to us.
Yeah.
So we were asked for the audiobook almost from the minute.
Beginning.
That.
Oh, cool.
So there was a hunger for that, a desire for that. And, you know, when we told them they were going to have to wait like 2 or 3 months, because, you know, we were trying to actually launch the paperback.
Yeah.
There were a lot of frustrated people in a good way.
Yeah.
And so if you know where your audience is, if they are, you know, if you are a podcaster, or you've been doing that kind of thing, don't shy away. This is what I would say, is don't shy away from doing an audiobook, because it sounds like more work. Your people are already used to listening to you.
Get it in their hands.
Get it in their ears so that they can consume it in the way that they're used to consuming your information.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm just making a note of that. Two things that might be helpful for you guys. This is a kind of quasi interview, quasi coaching call.
I love what you're doing.
I've got so many ideas.
Yeah.
Two things that work well for me and for my new book published is short links for reviews and for audiobooks. So it's like kind of the combination of what we're talking about right here. So if anyone's listening to this and read published or listened to the audiobook published, go leave me a review, please. Simple link. So for me, it's publishedbook.com/review. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming for you guys, it could be sixpillarsofintimacy.com/review. And that's just a simple thing for you or for your team or any on your podcast. You can say that and it's just easy. People can remember it. They can type it in. Or if someone gives you a shout on social, it's a quick link to say, could you copy and paste that here? Or you're someone on your team, if someone emails in or whatever, hey, can you copy and paste that here? So it just turns praise into reviews. And then similarly, a short link, just a redirect, right? For Audible. And, you know, Audible has, and so I do publishedbook.com/audible. Mm-hmm. And the pitch is, hey, you can get a free copy of the book on Audible if you want to listen to it. And you've got the Audible Bounty Program, which Audible will pay you 25 to 75, I think maybe $7,500 per person that signs up for Audible through your link. And so either way, they're getting a free book. If they sign up for a trial for Audible, they get a free copy of the book. Or if they already have an Audible membership, they can just use one of their credits, kind of a free copy. And so it's either way, they can get a free audiobook. It's a simple way to promote the audiobook on your podcast or whatever else. When you have to say a link, it's just an easy way. Oh, it's sixpillarsofintimacy.com/audible.
Yeah.
Check out the audiobook.
So yeah. Those are love
things that worked well, that might work for you. Kind of home stretch here. I've got a couple final questions. What was the most, you alluded to this earlier, what was the most helpful part about working with self-publishing school throughout this process?
Most helpful? I would say without a doubt, having a personal coach. We haven't written any of the other books.
With one.
With a coach. And so the accountability, the resources, the direction, I mean, kind of like what you just did for us. Oh, here's something that would be helpful. In so many of our conversations with Kirk, whether we were like, hey, Kirk, you know, look at the cover. What do you think? And he's like, all right, well, let's move this up and get into the top third, or let's do this. Or, hey, Kirk, you know, like I just sent the book off to the editor and I'm like totally stressed about, you know, how much redlining is going to come back. And he's like, take a deep breath. Remember, it's going to make your book better. Whatever we needed, it meant that you and I didn't have to go like try and figure it out on our own. Having a coach that said, hey, check out these couple of resources. And we never felt overwhelmed by the process. And I think that's a big thing, you know, as authors who had previously self-published, there in the past had been a lot of times when we felt overwhelmed by the process. And having resources, having a coach that just said, this is your next step. Like if we wanted to get three steps ahead, he would be like, you are not there yet. Nice try. Back it up. Next coaching call we'll talk about. I can appreciate that, right? Yeah. Don't get too far ahead. And so for me, that was the biggest. I mean, we tell everyone about SPS. I'm like, why are you trying to write a book by yourself? Yeah. Like, don't be silly.
Yeah. Don't be silly. And for me, the templates early on were helpful because as Elisa's writing, I'm the one making sure everything's going in properly into those Google Docs and massaging all that stuff so I don't know why that still at this point in time to me was just so important. I guess because times before I would be like
outline template.
Would scour the internet for all these pieces and it just took something. It was just easy enough. It's like, here it is. Use this. Boom. Here's the template for our book. Let's do it this way. And so to me, that just was like, here it is. Here we go. Let's go. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome to hear. What would be your thoughts for anyone who's thinking about working with us?
Do it. Don't waste your time. I mean, you can look for others. I'm sure. And we've had many of friends who've gone other ways and they come back asking a million questions and it actually frustrates me, Chandler. I had a guy who like went another way and came back and he's texting me like, hey, can I take you to lunch and talk about your launch process? And I'm going, but who are you working with who's supposed to do this for you?
Yeah.
Well, they really don't have one. I'm going, what? Like,
we're not going to lunch.
Then why didn't you go with SPS like I told you?
Man, you guys are amazing. Holy cow. I appreciate it.
Well, because it is one of those things. I mean, people know we have a lot of books. People know the success of this book. Yeah. And we know a lot of people that want to be writers. Right. They want to publish. And so it's, you know, we've had the before and after, we know. And so if you're on the fence and you've got that book inside of you that you know you're supposed to write, you've already wasted enough time thinking and overthinking this. Just do it and get your book done.
And can I say one thing to that too? Our other books would take us about a year to publish from start to finish. We jumped into SPS. We put our heads down. We knew what we needed to do. Everything was in order. And we went from start to finish in 5 months. From pen to paper to launch in 5 months, it would not have been done.
Wow. So
really want to get the book out. Cool. Go do it. You don't need to sit around and waste time. Mm-hmm. You know?
Thank you. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you guys so much for saying that. If people are listening and or watching and you want to chat about working with us, go to self-publishingschool.com/apply. That's self-publishingschool.com/apply. Book a call with the team. We'd love to chat with you about your book, your goals for your book, your next steps, and how we might be able to help. This has been fun. I've got two questions. This is almost like where I should normally end the interview, but I've got a couple questions, and I'm going to give you guys obviously shout out the book and all that stuff where people can buy it. But before then, I almost want to ask a couple questions and give a couple thoughts, because I think this might be helpful for people who are listening as well. First question would be, do you guys have any sort of quiz or assessment along with the book?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Great.
It's cool. It's okay. One of the best opt-ins we've ever had. We get about a 57% opt-in rate.
I bet.
On the website, on the book,
and we get book a, on the thank you page.
Yeah, we have 100% opt-in. Oh yeah, we used it
so
from
the
your
quiz. App. Okay, cool. Oh, cool, yeah. cool. And then do you use the this is in published, the page 190. Have you went through any of that content on the framework for using a quiz to sell more books, which improves the virality?
I got to go look at that. Page 190.
Yeah. Page 190. Check that out. And then also listen to the episode with Gary Chapman. I know I've plugged that one before, but he talked, I mean, that five love languages quiz has been taken 50 million times and the book has been sold 10 or 12 million copies. And so just
17 million.
Not that we're checking, but you know, we do know how many.
Yeah. We love Dr. Chapman, and that's who we're at.
That's the benchmark. Yeah.
That's cool. I think the quiz makes a lot of sense, and especially being very intentional about incorporating that in and using the quiz to drive book sales, using the book sales for quiz and ascending into the marriage coaching and that sort of thing. My second thing, which is less of a question, but more of just an encouragement, would be I would keep talking about this book and keep marketing. I mean, I talk about the 1 year launch. There's a whole chapter on that and about building evergreen assets and doing one-off promos and all that stuff. But I think you guys really have something special here, and I would keep marketing it until the cows come home. I mean, just like I would just go on that 1 year launch, and I think you're on it right now. You know, here we are 6 months later, but I think there's just so much more upside for this book. So I think it's beautiful what you guys have created, and the best is yet to come.
Definitely.
And published is on audiobook too, right?
What's that? Oh yeah. Published is on Audible and audiobook and all that. So you can listen to it instead. It's narrated by me. There's one thing in the review chapter, I'm not going to spoil it here, but I think you might like that. You might be able to incorporate into your audiobook to help you get more reviews. So I'll leave it at that. But Tony, Alisa, this has been amazing. Where can people go to find out more about you guys, to buy your book, all that good stuff?
Yeah, best place to go to find out all about us, find our podcast, all our resources, oneextraordinarymarriage.com. You can find the book there. If you do want to go buy the book, though, directly on Amazon, sixpillarsofintimacy.com. It will take you right there. Buy whatever edition fancies you.
Cool. That's awesome. Tony, Alisa, y'all are amazing and inspiring. Thanks. Keep up the great work. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Chandler.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published, And on that training, you're going to learn the next step. So how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.